Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
U.S. News and World Report has just put out their most dangerous places in the U.S. in 2022-2023.
Okay.
My daughter sent this to me because she saw it and thought it was interesting. She was looking for something else. Okay, so most dangerous place to live in the U.S. Now, this is determined based on metro areas' murder and property crime rates per 100,000 people, okay? So this is the rate, not the actual number. So, of course, places like L.A. and Chicago and New York are going to have much higher numbers. But this is per 100,000, most dangerous places to live in the U.S., U.S. News and World Report. Okay. Interesting. The number one most dangerous place in the U.S., not where I would think. I mean, I could see it being, you know, more dangerous than average, but this is a little surprising. Memphis, Tennessee. This is according to the FBI crime reports, their big database.
Yeah. They've had problems for a long time.
Yeah. Now, part of the shift to understand is how they draw the boundaries. Like, for instance, if where I come from in Charlotte, right? If you just look at Charlotte, the city.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, what people think of like city boundaries, Charlotte, it's usually has very high rates of crime. If you look at what Charlotte actually is, if you live there, which
Charlotte,
is
Mecklenburg, is what
Mecklenburg
usually,
County, yeah, right? Yeah. The rates are, you know, pretty much average.
Yeah.
For the country. But this is what's on the list. This is interesting. Okay. So South Carolina, any cities from South Carolina on this list? Well, yes, they are. Columbia, South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
Ninth most dangerous place by the FBI per capita rate in the country.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. We cover these stories all the time
for,
you know, Lexington and Richland counties where Columbia is located. So
now, sometimes you'll see these cities will rank different ways, and it depends on how they do it. There's two ways that'll really skew this, okay? One of the ways is, okay, they just look at, like, murder and violent crime, right?
Right.
And that'll produce a set of cities that is largely blue. If you throw in murder and property crime, then you get a more diverse kind of, you know, list.
Right.
Okay, so this is murder and property crime rates per 100,000. So mm-hmm. Columbia comes in at number 9. So just to give you an idea of who's on the list, number 1 is Memphis, most dangerous in the country. Number 2, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Number 3, Anchorage, Alaska. Number 4, Bakersfield, California.
Anchorage, Alaska?
Yeah. Number 5, Little Rock. Number 6, Chattanooga. Number 7, Corpus Christi. Number 8, Tulsa. And number 9, Columbia. So now you're probably wondering, where does Greenville rank?
And?
22nd.
Really?
Yeah, in between St. Louis and South Bend, Indiana. And here's what's interesting. Some of this isn't surprising. San Francisco is 20. That's number 20. Mm-hmm. And part of what does this in... here is that places like San Francisco have a much higher murder rate than we do, but we have a higher property crime rate than they do.
Yeah.
And so when you look at crime overall, that, you know, you may not get caught in the crossfire, but your bike will get stolen.
You get your stuff taken.
You can get your stuff taken. You might get broken in. So interesting that in the top 25 are two of the biggest cities in South Carolina, Greenville and Columbia, although Columbia is a lot more dangerous. Let me see if Charleston's, you know what? That's a good question. Is Charleston on here? I should have checked. Hold on. It won't take long. Nothing like doing the show prep on
exactly.
the show, right?
You know, whatever. Of course.
Hey, you know, when the management asked me out to pull night duty like I did last night, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to prep on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so let's see. Yeah, nope. Charleston's not in here.
Wow.
Charleston's a weird place having lived there.
Yeah.
Like, it depends on how you count it. Do you count the county?
Right.
Do you count the city? And if you want to know where not to go, do not go to North Charleston.
Yeah, I
do
know.
Not do that. Like, if people make that mistake, They'll think, oh, I'm going to go stay in Charleston. Oh, my gosh, the Airbnb rates are really high. Oh, look over here in North Charleston, though. They're much lower. There's a reason for that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. That you know, it comes with the crossfire clause.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This Airbnb rental is null and void in the case of getting caught in the crossfire. Because there is a tremendous gang problem there. So, I mean, when you go to Charleston, it's very safe if you know where to go.
Yeah. I made a wrong turn one time in North Charleston off the interstate and wound up. I'm like, we got to get out of here. And this was during the daylight.
Yeah. When we travel for sports, I will actually take advantage of the low prices in North Charleston because I know where to go.
Yeah.
But I would not recommend doing that if you do not know where to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is a very, very dangerous place. And the problem in North Charleston, which I covered a lot when I was on the air there, is that literally the gangs have the upper hand to the point in North Charleston that they don't get convicted. And the reason they don't get convicted is because no one testifies against them. And the reason no one testifies is they just kill them. And that's been a practice of those gangs for a very long time. So there's the, the do not squeal situation where you don't tell the cops what's going on. And literally that is very much in effect there because you will end up dead. And so they have, you know, gang leaders who have, you know, are wanted in multiple murders and there's nobody testifies against them because they end up dead. So, then they have not figured out how to crack, you know, how to crack the upper hand, get the upper hand back from those gangs. That are in North Charleston. But then there's parts of Charleston that are fine, so it depends on how you look at the county. Yeah. But like, just hang out in Somerville, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Out there in the swamp. You'll be eaten to death by the mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes,
okay?
And an occasional gators, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, we loved the gators. We had gators that go walking through the neighborhood all the time,
mm-hmm.
And the kids were fascinated by them. They were so cool. So we'd go running out to look at the gator.
Yeah.
And none of them were too. They were like 3 feet long, right?
Keep your distance.
Yeah, keep your distance. And I mean, I figured I could take them. You know what I mean? If
and
I had to.
Keep the small pets away from them, too.
Yeah, do keep the small pets away.
Otherwise known as gator appetizers.
Yeah. So just kind of interesting that we do still have the crime problems here. We are not as violent of a place, but we do have a lot of property crime in South Carolina.
And that is per capita, but still, it's an issue.
Yeah, but it feels the same if it's per capita. I mean, because it's per... the population.
Right.
Interesting here, kind of what is going on. The U.S. 30-year mortgage has just, in terms of how much of your income it takes to pay your mortgage,
mm-hmm.
has just hit an all-time high. It is 44% of your income.
Good grief.
That is impressive. It really shouldn't be more than 20 to 22.
Yeah.
And so what that means is housing is now out of the affordability range for a whole lot of Americans. And when I've made a big deal out of what's going on with the Federal Reserve in Jerome Powell, because they are being very frank and they're saying, listen, our goal essentially is to crash the real estate market. We are going to take 20% off the top of home values. And our government is setting that as the goal to tame inflation. So, I mean, and then you have these idiots on TV. Well, will that cause a reset? Yeah. So, I mean, what we're talking about right now, Lee, just to translate, we're in such a bad position because of the printing done by the government and the spending that's been done by the government and the inflation it caused, that we are contemplating causing deliberately a great recession in the real estate market. Because at those numbers, that's what you're going to get. I mean, we all remember what the Great Recession was like. It was really, really, really bad. It ruined a lot of people.
Yeah.
It caused a lot of people to have to work an extra 7, 8, 10 years that they wouldn't have had to work. So, I mean, and we're talking about being in a situation so bad that the government is going to do that deliberately to save the economy from inflation. And, you know, what is so amazing about this, if you watch the Steve Geiger videos that I have up, he is a Wharton professor who is losing his mind all over CNBC, screaming and yelling. I mean, this Federal Reserve is the Federal Reserve that told us we could totally print as much as we wanted, modern monetary theory. Nothing will happen. Yeah, it will. Because inflation was only transitory, and that was when it was like 2 to 3%. Well, they were wrong. That's the same Fed that we're counting on to get us out of this. And he makes that point pretty forcefully, and that's really scary when you think about it. These are people who, you know, and I maintain they lied to us. I think they knew it wasn't transitory.
No.
I knew it wasn't transitory. I was saying it wasn't transitory.
The data was there. I mean, you pointed that out for months. And you know, consistently, and it was from the regional Federal Reserves. They would tell the truth about what was going on in their regions, and then the federal government would come up with a reason to say, well, no, that's not exactly right. We don't view it that way.
Yeah, and a lot of people say, oh, it's the worst call by the Fed in 102 years. And it was, but I maintain it wasn't an accident that they did it to give the Democrats the ability to print a lot of money. Because if they told the truth, no, we're in inflation, the Democrats couldn't have printed the money, and they wanted the votes, you know, for the Build Back Better, which, remember, at the time was going to be $4 to $5 trillion, which we now know would have absolutely wrecked the economy.
Oh, yeah. Which and the limited amount is may still do it.
And it may still do it. So we ended up with a, you know, skinny bill, like, you know, $1 trillion. But still, this is a Wharton professor, Stephen Geiger, and this is taking the internet by storm. And he's using some business lingo in there, but you can understand what he's saying just by what he's, you know, he's just literally losing it. He's like, wait, are you telling me seriously? Because we're all walking around in total delusion in this country right now going, well, the Fed will fix it. No, the Fed caused it. They're the ones who printed the trillions of dollars while lying to you and telling you that, oh, no, no, inflation's only transitory. We can print. And then they print it, and now they're like, oh, wow. And what is amazing about this Fed, and I guess to their credit, I don't know, is how honest they're being about what it's going to take to wreck this, to fix this, and that is that your wages have to go down, and we're going to have to take about 20% off the top of your home's value, and we're going to have to lose a lot of jobs. They are setting out deliberately to do this. So what he's screaming about, you'll hear it at the end, is, wait a minute, wages are lagging. And hold on, Tim. Wages are lagging inflation, right? So why are you going to fight inflation by hurting the little guy? Why don't we put this off on the big guy? And that's their plan. I mean, that is literally the Biden administration's philosophy. And nobody's figured this out on the left, I don't think. We're going to hurt the little guy to kill inflation because we printed so much. Here is this Wharton professor, Stephen Geiger, losing his ever-loving mind. He's talking about, wait, the Fed? They mean the Fed that made the biggest mistake in 102 years?
Has just, you know, executed the last 2 years one of the biggest policy mistakes in the 110-year history of the Fed. By staying so easy when everything was booming and pointing to, my God, inflation is going to be a terrible problem. And now, oh, yeah, we did goof badly there, which he never really admitted. I mean, he still blames some things on Ukraine and, you know, Putin and the supply side, even though oil is way below that level, way beyond that. And now we're saying, oh, my God, he's the God that's going to stop inflation and he's going to crush the wages, which have fallen behind inflation by 3, 4, 5%. You can't have cost push inflation when you're lagging inflation. You can't blame wages for inflation when they're 2, 3, 4, 5% behind inflation. I mean,
he said the other
why
day
is he
that
putting
gonna,
the burden
gonna,
on these working people, the on the employed people?
That is literally the Biden administration policy right now, because those are his people. Those are his people. Yeah, Trump appointed Powell, but Biden reappointed him, so Biden owns him. Well, we just make people poor. And then when there's no more demand because people can't afford to buy stuff, then inflation will come down. Oh, and we can print some more. Because they're going to print some more. They're going to print the college loan forgiveness, and they're going to print the Inflation Resumption Act. And toxic trolls do not tell me, oh, we're paying for that with taxes. No, you're not. Those taxes aren't collected for 10 years. We pay the bulk of it in the first three. They're going to print it. They're going to print it. Texter writes, Terry, you and Charlie are always throwing shade at the Low Country. I lived in Greenville for years and Charleston for years. Both have their pros and cons. I didn't throw any shade. What are you talking about? No. I didn't. Look, pros and cons. I think I covered that pretty well. Like, just stay out of the areas where you get shot, and we got those in both places. You'd be fine. Better figure out where those are, though. This is a dangerous state. It is.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
U.S. facing a natural gas shortage. That'll be fun. For scheduled for this winter. Oh, why's that? Oh, we're sending our natural gas to Europe. Wait, aren't they having a crisis there because they don't have enough? Wouldn't that mean we're going to have a crisis here? Yeah, they're going to tell us all about it after the midterms. I'm telling you, I literally am giddy. I cannot wait to come in and read the news on the 9th of November, 10th and 11th, when it will suddenly be discovered to everybody's absolute and total and complete shock that we're in the middle of a dire financial crisis that everybody saw coming, but no one was allowed to speak of. The signs of that are everywhere, every single day. As we pretend that none of it is going on, because all we do is pretend in this country now. We are so dysfunctional, we cannot even speak of what is actually going on. But John Boyd did, and he has something very interesting to say. He's the head of the Black Farmers Association. They're all losing their farms, as are the white farmers, too. He just happened to be speaking about the black farmers. Why, you ask, are they all losing their farms? Well, the value of farmland's gone through the roof. It's very expensive. So have the property taxes, what the value's up. Why is the value up? Well, it's tremendous demand for farmland. Really? By who? By the Chinese Communist Party and Bill Gates. They're buying it up right and left as inflation eats farmers alive. A lot of it is fertilizer prices, that sort of thing. And so he's warning, look, a time is coming where the food that we need is going to be grown on our land and it's going to be shipped to China. We're not sure yet what Bill Gates is going to do with his food. It's going to be interesting to find out, though. Here's Boyd saying that, you know, look, I supported Biden before Biden was elected. He said he would meet with me, but he will not meet with me now. And I've got an important thing I got to tell him. And here's what it is, says John Boyd on Fox News.
I'm not sure why he's not pushing back on it, but I can tell you that I'm at these farm auctions, and it's two people there primarily buying America's farmlands. It's China and Bill Gates that are running up land to about $15,000 to $20,000 an acre here in the county that I live in. My adjoining farm over here was sold to Microsoft on land that we couldn't afford to bid on.
Huh. Well, that sounds concerning. And Biden won't hear of it, and he can't get an interview on any other channel? It's weird. Something's up, isn't it? Microsoft? Now, I don't know if he means Bill Gates or if he just like literally means Microsoft. I don't know. But he's watching it at these auctions. There's something else going on, too. Real Clear Politics had an article on this. You know what's going on with gasoline and oil? It's really weird, right? Because normally when you have prices this high, they would have come down by now. And you know why that is? Because when prices go this high, the mom-and-pop frackers who can cycle up very quickly and start fracking, they would all get loans to do that. And bam, they'd be in business in a few weeks. They'd be pumping out barrel after barrel of oil. The prices would come down. But that hasn't happened this time for the first time in modern history. And why is that? Because of ESG scores. All of these investment houses, these big investment houses that are captured by the left, are using ESG scores now. So you get a bad ESG score if you invest fruitfully with anything that helps produce oil. And that is why the mom and pops are not operating. They produce more than half of our oil, and that's why the oil's not coming back online. Well, guess what? FDA is about to do it with food. Wait, what? They're about to do it with food. Essentially, what this is ESG scores, environmental scores, for every phase of the food production process. And if you're not climate friendly, well, they're not going to invest in you. Well, wouldn't that produce a market that looks for food like it does for oil right now? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that mean a lot of food won't be produced? Yep. Won't that mean a lot of farms gone? Well, sold to the Chinese. Uh-huh. So they'll be eating, but we won't. Yeah, pretty much. And this is about to go down when? Oh, they're in the process of certifying right now. They're in the feedback process. Folks, the left is conducting, you know this if you listen to the Battleground podcast. The left is conducting an absolute all-out war on food simultaneous to its war on oil. That is supposed to produce the same results, a whole lot less food. And nobody to invest in it. Here's why John Boyd's so mad, by the way. He's the head of the Black Farmers Association. He says, listen, we have pumped not millions, but billions of dollars into helping the people of Ukraine, including hundreds of millions to bail out their farmers. Yet the funds normally used to bail out our farmers so that the farms stay in the hands of Americans, not the Chinese, are being withheld by our government. Weird. So weird.
And we got money for everybody. We got money for farmers in Ukraine, $250 million for aid there, for infrastructure, to get them equipment. So we got money to help those farmers, but we don't have money to help American farmers here in the worst situation we've been in with the, facing a food crisis. We're facing a high cost of inflation, high cost of imports, and all of these things, diesel fuel, fertilizer. And we have farmers facing farm foreclosure right now. And I've been pleading with the administrations to stop these farm foreclosures. We have one coming up for Mr. Walker in South Carolina on October 4th. And it's people like the Chinese government who are buying these farms. So when this farm leaves, these lands leave American farmers' hands, they wind up in the hands of the Chinese government that we're never going to get back.
Yep,
we're giving China just about everything from our fuel to now to our land. And for those persons who are at these auctions bidding for the Chinese government, I want to tell them that it's very un-American to do so.
One of the wildest things to me about this period of history is that we're seeing something I never thought I would see when I was young. We can remember just cheering on when Soviet dissidents, that is, people who were politically persecuted, would make it to the United States of America. They'd be so thrilled to be here, to be free. It didn't happen a lot, but it did happen. People managed to escape the grips of communism all over the globe and to make it here to America. That pipeline's reversed now. American dissidents go to Russia, which is no longer the Soviet Union. Doesn't mean Russia's a good place, but it's where they run. One great American hero is Edward Snowden. I don't agree with his politics, or all of it anyway. But I've studied what he did extensively, and he is a great American hero, a true whistleblower. And now, in this era of political persecution by the deep state, American whistleblowers, patriots, had best, as I often say, have their Russian passport in order so they can flee our deep state. A lot of people don't know what Edward Snowden did. They only know that the deep state said he was a bad guy. A lot of folks on our side of the aisle don't like him because he made George Bush look bad, and that was a bad thing to do. But Edward Snowden was just offered Russian citizenship by Vladimir Putin personally. He's going to take it, but he's going to apply for dual U.S.-Russian citizenship. He still loves his country and wishes he could return one day. I wish he could, too. And that the people who have forced him to hide in Russia weren't in power anymore, but they are, and that's a shame. Edward Snowden made an incredible sacrifice for this country, one I will always appreciate because I know the reality in which I live. What did Edward Snowden reveal? Well, some classified stuff. That's bad. Well, no, not if they've classified it to hide their crimes. I sit down with George Washington, and he would assure you most certainly that the reason that he fought the revolution was because of warrantless searches. It's in the Fourth Amendment. And we found that during the Bush administration, it had started, it carried on by the deep state in the Obama administration, that they were doing warrantless searches. They had created a system that was only ever supposed to be used to spy on foreign nationals, to scoop up their phone calls and their texts to each other, their emails, some of the deepest and most intimate communications Americans make. But they just gaffed that off and decided they were going to watch all of us. Edward Snowden stumbled upon it and let us know. He let us know for the first time, what shocked my conscience at the time, that we live in a police state. That came full circle for me this week, in a weird way, because of two things. Because Snowden has just accepted his dual U.S.-Russia citizenship as the first American dissident to go to Russia. The pipeline of the Cold War has reversed. He won't be the first. I mean, he won't be the last. He was the first. Others will go too. They will have to escape our deep state. See, for me, this is real. Because that spying was as illegal then as it is now. We fought a revolution over it. Used to be the Brits didn't need a warrant. They'd just kick your door in. Take whatever they wanted. Deep state does that now, too. The person who should be cowering in Russia is not Edward Snowden. No, the person who should be cowering in Russia is James Clapper. Better yet, he should be on the inside of U.S. prison. Instead, he's a CNN commentator, like so many other criminals from the deep state. See, under oath, he lied. He lied when he was asked, does the U.S. have a non-warrant-oriented spying program that scoops up every email, every text, and every phone call of every American everywhere? Does the U.S. have something like that? Because that'd be illegal, he was asked, under oath, in Congress. At the time, James Clapper, a true American criminal and deep state thug, held the highest security position in our security state. He was director of national intelligence. What did Clapper do under oath? He lied his ass off. Us? No, we would never spy on Americans. Why? That would be illegal. Well, Edward Snowden knew he was lying. And he knew he had a choice to make. And so he leaked it all. Thank God for that sacrifice that he made. A true American whistleblower, a true American patriot. When you are a true whistleblower, not the fake kind that they spin out to the public to spin fake lies about Trump, with great honor, a real American patriot. Not one I agree with politically. A lot of his politics I don't like. He was one of us, you know, in the beginning. He voted for Bush, served with honor under Bush, believed all the ideals of why he signed up to fight in the military. All that's gone now. Because he chose to let you know that you live in a police state. And that came full circle for me this week. Because I'm still reeling from the shock of the New York Post article. I guess it's making it real to me. I should have known they were spying on me. And you, and so many of you. But I guess it's the biggest, one of the biggest gut punches I've ever had. It came to me in the shower where I do my best thinking. Probably because no one bugs me in there. I don't know if you do that too. New York Post article last week. For me, a watershed event. Because Snowden warned us. And then it became real. And we found out that the spying, which is very much in vogue by the deep state, is now being done by the FBI. Who's being spied on? You know anybody sent messages in Facebook Messenger. Probably Twitter, too. Come on, let's not kid ourselves. Hell, they're probably in your phone. It's probably Samsung and Apple, too. I have no doubt about it. Never mind what else they're collecting. So I learned this week that if you have sent me a message, and hundreds of you have, saying I'm concerned about the federal government, I'm concerned about the FBI, question the results of the 2020 election, any of that with no threats of violence whatsoever would get you turned over to the FBI. You would then be forwarded to their regional offices, according to the New York Post, for investigation, and after that put under permanent surveillance. What kind of surveillance? I don't know. Miranda Devine didn't say. That means they're surveilling me and you. Hundreds of you. Just like Snowden said, he tried to tell us. But back then, we're so partisan. Well, he was making Bush look bad. He must be a bad guy. No, Bush was a bad guy. And Dick Cheney was a really bad guy. And Dick Cheney is the one who put this spy program in place. Do you know how bad this has gotten? Do you have any freaking idea how bad this has gotten? Remember Kleinsmith? FBI prosecuted him. you know what Klein Smith does? For a major Democrat law firm that he works for Perkins Coie? Yeah, his job is to sit at a computer terminal, sit at an NSA database computer terminal, and he searches. That's what he does. For the Democrat Party. See, because that information that Edward Snowden was so horrified that our deep state was keeping on you, oh, so much worse now. The Democrat Party uses that for opposition research. They have their own terminal. They look up you, they look up me, they look up any of us. The deepest and most intimate things we have ever said are in that terminal. And they never got a warrant. And because they were allowed to do and get away with what they did to Edward Snowden, you and me, so many of you who have messaged me over the years on Facebook, and probably the ones who messaged me on Twitter too, innocently. Hey, Tara, love your show. Really afraid of the federal government. Here's an article. I hope you can use it. They can do that now. They can spy on you. They can spy on me. We are under surveillance because you wrote that. You sent it to me, both of us. Snowden tried to warn us, and he is a hero. And I hope he and his wife and their baby get to experience some measure of freedom in Russia. Freedom we no longer have here. He is a hero for letting us all know about it. He is exactly what happens to real American whistleblowers now. They run. And they hide in Russia. I got folks, I never, ever thought I'd see this in my lifetime. The dissident pipeline from Soviet Russia to the U.S. has been reversed and it runs the other way now. Make a major life mistake, something that, I don't know, haunts you, or to some great degree you think about it a lot. One of those you can't take back. You've been over every angle. There's no way to take it back. And you think, what was I thinking? Oh, and you weren't. Well, you're not alone. All of us goes through this. The average American makes, an average of, 4 wrong major decisions in their life. That's the average American, and 31% say they've made more than that. 71% said they wish they had more guidance when it comes to making large life decisions. This is big stuff. It's like you married the wrong person, you picked the wrong career path, stuff like that. Things that you can't reverse very easily, or do you mean you can't get the time back? So look, this, you know what this tells you? It's not just you. This is the human condition. 4 major wrong decisions in their life. The kind that you can't take back, or you can't easily take back. So, all right, new survey this year. A surprising number of us have already bought Halloween candy. I am so ready for fall right now. I think the weather's doing it to me, too. This is the first fall where, like, literally on the first day of fall, you know how, like, normally it still feels like summer for a few weeks? But I swear we're in the cooling period, and it gets colder earlier now. It's been that way for the last few years. And it was so cool because Thursday was the first day of fall, and literally the day started out hot. By the end of the day, it rolled in, like, the cool. And then Friday was cool. That undercurrent of cool. Anyway, it just puts me in the mood for fall. An early Halloween poll found a surprising number of us have already bought candy. 18% have or will by the end of the week. That includes me. Yeah, I actually have it, and I have not eaten any of it because I am on the PhD weight loss plan, and I'm not hungry, so I have resisted. Normally, I wouldn't feel like I could keep it in my house without, you know, sneaking some. And you know what Rambo Loco does? I'm the strong one now, so he buys it and hands it to me. He says, hide this, so I did. It's hidden. But yeah, we are one of the 18% that already have our Halloween candy, and we are ready to go. All right, let's jump real quickly while we have a few seconds left on to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Text writes, we weren't the only ones. The cabal was also under surveillance. Hillary and everyone else who brought their phones with them everywhere they went. When you think about where they may have gone, and remember that the NSA has it all, you can't help but smile. Yeah. Texter writes, you go, girl. My mom tells me every day to keep my mouth shut. I brag about being on the show because you're awesome. Oh, thank you. He texts me is what he means. They will be at our door one day. I will not comply. So says Roger. Well, we'll see. It's not over yet. Texter writes here, you were wrong about Eric Snowden. Him and Manning caused the deaths of innocent people. I think you mean Edward Snowden. I think you're talking about Assange, not Snowden. I think you're confused. That's okay. That means you've been gotten by the deep state propaganda. But that's what I'm here for. I can help. Keep attuned to the show, and I'll straighten you out.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.